If you would, we could turn to Revelation chapter 10 as we move through here. For prayer tonight, Bob Marshall is having surgery tomorrow on his knee, so keep him in your prayers. And we got word today that Lewis, of Lewis and Barb, fell over off his chair, and she took him to the hospital, so we haven't heard any update yet, but he was outside in the sun, so we're thinking he was just dehydrated, so we're hoping, but we'll keep him in prayer anyway. We haven't heard an update yet, so. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can come to you at any time with any requests, Lord, and you know what's on our hearts and minds. We ask that you just settle us tonight. Refresh us in your word, Lord, how we need you. In the days that we're in, Lord, we need you more and more. And so we just look to you. We just ask that you'd fill us afresh with your spirit. Just give us ears to hear and hearts ready to receive. And we do think of our brothers, Lord. We think of Lewis. We think of Bob. And just pray for your touch upon them, Lord. Take away any anxiousness or fears from Jen and from Barb, and just minister your healing touch upon Lewis right now, Father. Give the doctors and the nurses, the techs, wisdom on what to do. Just heal him up, Lord. And Father, we think of Bob preparing for surgery tomorrow. Pray you take away any anxiousness from him, and pray that we'd have a good report as he comes through this, Lord. We just thank you that you are the great physician. The doctors practice, you heal. And so we just look to you for it, Lord, and we thank you. Be glorified in this place, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 10. We're coming into a strange section here. We know the church is gone in chapter 4. The church has been raptured up. We're gone. Hallelujah. Hopefully that happens soon. And we'll see this firsthand. But here we are in a place where the seal judgments have already taken place. In the last seal judgment, the seventh one, turned into the trumpet judgments. And we've had the first six of those. And all of a sudden, there's a break in the action. And we go through this time from chapter 10 here through chapter 11, verse 14. And then in verse 15, he talks about the last trumpet judgment, which would bring in the vial judgments, but then that extends all the way up to chapter 16 before the first vial judgment is opened. So we talk about a lot of things in between these sections. Mystery Babylon, we talk about the Antichrist, the false prophet, talk about all those things. And then in chapter 16, the vial judgments kind of come into view here. But in chapter 10, we have another change that's going on, because in this chapter, if you notice all the way through, it's not a long chapter, and you're going, good, he's not going to talk long. But in this chapter, things kind of change, because in every verse, it starts with the word and, all but one. And that's that verse in verse 7 starts with but. three letter words. I can handle those, they're good. But the reason it's going from and is because things start to pick up a little bit. The Lord is picking up the pace, and there is not going to be any more delay in his judgment coming upon the earth. No more delay, no more time for the world to turn to change. And we look forward to that, but at the same time, our heart breaks, doesn't it? Because we see so many in the world who have no clue of who Jesus is, have no clue that Jesus wants them to get saved, no clue that he's on his way to pour out judgment that they've never seen before. The progression of judgment is getting worse and worse and worse. It's all bad, but it's getting worse. And thank goodness he takes his bride out of the world before his wrath is poured out. And thank you, Jesus, for that, that he doesn't pour out his wrath upon his bride. I know there's many that believe we're going to go through that to get purified. We're not going to get purified. Jesus is pure. We're just here, and he's purifying us. We're going to be changed when we get to heaven. So thank you, Lord, for that. As we look at Scripture rightly and divide it rightly, that's what we want to see. So he starts out in chapter 10, and he said, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on it, upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet were as pillars of fire." So we see this angel come down. I don't believe it's Jesus. Commentators are split all the way through. It's kind of strange to look at and see that there's so many differing opinions. A lot of people believe this is Jesus. If you do, God bless you. It's okay. I don't believe it is just because of one word, and that is the word another, another mighty angel. As you look it up in concordance and other places, you see that it's another of the same kind. Another angel of the same kind that's already come. Jesus is not like the angels. He's different. He's God. So for me, this is just another angel. Harry, Joe, Jim, I don't care. They all have masculine names, so it's just another mighty angel. If I'm wrong, we'll find out when we get there, and that's okay. But I saw another mighty angel come down, and for me, this is just another encouragement that heaven is up because he has to come down to earth. For me, heaven is up. I'm not looking forward to go sideways. I'm going up because the angel told John, "Come up hither." Just that encouragement that heaven is up. So I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. He comes down from heaven from being in God's presence with a message. And angels are messengers. They're coming with a message. And so he comes down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And very symbolic in this verse, the cloud, as you look at Exodus, was the glory of the Lord coming down upon the mountain, coming down upon the tabernacle. So it just represents the glory of God on this angel coming down to minister to the people that were there. And a rainbow was on his head. And it was a rainbow. It's the right rainbow, not the wrong rainbow. There's different numbers in there. This is the right rainbow. And that just speaks of the covenant that God has made with his people, that God is going to keep with his people, that he's faithful all the way through Scripture. There's not one place from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 that God is not faithful. And we count on that. We trust that. And as we look at his word, as we dig in his word, we realize that, God, you're faithful. Your promises are faithful and true. You're faithful and true. And, Lord, we trust you and we thank you. And in the days we're in, there's so much fear. And I know that's only coming from one place, because God doesn't bring fear to his people. God brings peace and power and sound minds and love that we can know and understand. So if you're afraid of the days that you're in, get back in the Word, get rooted, get grounded, get settled. Don't let the things around you shake you, because he's not coming to shake his bride. He's coming to confirm to his bride that he loves us and that he's coming for us. Not in ways we thought he was going to, but hey, that's okay. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. His ways are not our ways. So this rainbow, this covenant, was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, unveiled glory, pure, holy, not clouded, but unveiled glory just coming down from heaven, being in the presence of the Lord. And his feet were as pillars of fire. Pillars speak of strength. Fire speaks of judgment. So he's coming, and he's coming to planet Earth. And this figure, can you imagine this angel coming down and the people just looking at that. And John's trying to describe it. How do you describe somebody like that? It's just amazing. And he comes down, and he had in his hand a little book. Here's this great big giant angel coming down, and says he's got this little bitty book in his hand. Really? But this is the message that he's bringing. This is what he's coming with. This is what God has for him. And notice, this angel is faithful because God is faithful. And he's in the presence of God. He's learned from God. He knows God. And so he's faithful in what he's doing because God is faithful. And he says, Harry, here's this little book. I want you to take it down. I want you to show John this. Really? I don't think he ever said that. I think he said, yes, Lord. Whatever your will is. And that should be our cry too, is yes, Lord, whatever your will is. And I know God has got so much for each and every one of us. And there's things in our lives that are distracting us. There's things in our lives that are facing us that seem like mountains. And yet we just want to say, yes, Lord, whatever your will is. And if we can't say that tonight, then we've got to come before him and just say, Lord, I'm sorry that I doubt you. But Lord, work that in me, that I can say, yes, Lord, whatever your will is. Oh, because that's the best place for us. We may not know what's behind it. We may not know the next step. We may not know the things that are coming, and we may not even like the things that are coming. But God is always good. And if he's in it, then we're okay. Oh, and that's hard in the world that we're in right now. But he had in his hand this little book, and it was opened. And he set his right foot upon the sea. This is why I say this is a big angel. He sets his right foot upon the sea. Notice, upon the sea. He didn't sink. Upon the sea. And his left foot on the earth. This is one big angel. Because that's quite a spread for an angel to do. But it just shows one thing. And it shows that God has dominion over all the earth. The seas as well as the land. He made everything. He has dominion over it. And this angel comes down in the name of the Lord, in the power of the Lord, to give a message from the Lord. And he has this message that says God is over everything. No longer is Satan ruling and reigning. No longer is Satan going to have power. But I'm going to take control of this world once again. And that's our hope, isn't it? The Yahoo. And yet it amazes me as we go through Scripture that towards the end, when Satan is loosed once again, that the whole world rises up and comes against the Lord. And the Lord defeats them, of course, because he is the greatest. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if the Lord has dominion over the earth, shouldn't we submit ourselves to him? It says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Not only does he have dominion over the sea and the earth, but he has dominion over the people that are there too. And isn't it sad? Way back in Genesis, he tells Adam and Eve that you have dominion over everything in the world. And how it's changed because of sin. No longer does man have dominion. Satan does. He's the prince of the power of the air. And we see it moving through the world. And you know what? It doesn't have to frighten us. It doesn't have to scare us. It doesn't have to scare us about what our kids are going to end up with, what our grandchildren are going to have to go through. Because we've got a God who's bigger than all that. He's the one that has dominion. But he has this little book, and it's opened. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice. And that word in the Greek is, it's almost a shriek. And it says here that as when a lion roareth, this angel just, he's huge, he's big, and he just cries out with everything that he's got. He just takes that deep breath and just shrieks it out. Can you imagine the sound going through all the earth? I'd be quaking. And John's just writing this down. Really? Come on, John. He cries with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. So these thunders are uttering their voices. I didn't know thunders had voices, but evidently these thunders do. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So all the way through, and. The progression is picking up. It's going faster and faster and faster. But he says, because this is John's job. He's supposed to be writing down everything that's going on, everything that's happening, and describe it for us, and to write it down for us. And the Lord says, no, you're not going to write this. And so what's my first question? What was it? I want to know what that was. Maybe I could be the first one to find out in Scripture what the seven thunders said. And I'm sure there's guys out there that have tried. But you know what? We don't know. And we don't need to know, evidently. Because if we needed to know, God would make sure that we knew. So this is something we don't need to know. And isn't that something in our lives that sometimes God does things in our lives and through our lives that we don't know about, and we keep crying out, and God says, you don't need to know right now. All you need to do is to stay faithful, to worship me, to praise me, and to just believe that what I'm doing is the best thing for everybody involved. Oh, Lord, but Lord. And as soon as we say, but Lord, we know we're in trouble because we're coming against him. But we should be saying, yes, Lord. And so, Lord, give us those hearts that would cry out to you, yes, Lord, whatever your will is, I want to be involved. Oh, because guess what? Even if you fight the Lord and want to find out what's going on, and he never tells you, your life is going to be miserable because, number one, you're trying to find out something he's not going to tell you, and number two, you're walking in ways that are against him, and your life is going to be miserable. And so he says, well, it's very simple. Just repent, turn, come back, and follow me. It's simple on paper. It's hard when that heart's involved, isn't it? And it says, oh, Lord, I need to have this. No, you don't. It's not good for you right now. Just trust me. Lord, I want to. And isn't it weird? Did you ever think about it that we can trust Jesus for salvation, but we can't trust him for where our next meal is coming from? Isn't that strange? We can trust him that he's going to save us out of this world. He's going to rapture us. He's going to give us new bodies, new minds. He's going to frame things around us and keep us sustained in the midst of it. And we cry out, but Lord, I got cancer. What are you going to do about it? Well, let's see. If I made the world in 6 days and created everything, I think I can do something with your cancer. But Lord, my heart hurts. Well, let's see. I made the world. I created everything. I'm sustaining it. I'm keeping it. The sun comes up every morning. It goes down every night. The moon comes up every night. The stars come out every night. I think I could probably take care of your heartache. Oh, but Lord, I don't trust you for that. Oh, we are so fickle, aren't we? That's why Jeremiah has to say, hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. Who's going to save me? Who's going to save this wretched man and this wretched heart? Lord, it's you. Oh, we just see how much we need him and how much he has for us and how good his ways are. And it's just so wonderful. And so John seals up those things. He doesn't tell us what these seven thunders are. And I bet you every person that goes to heaven, if they have a chance, because as you see Jesus, you're going to forget everything that's here anyway. But if they see John, they're going to say, what did the seven thunders say? How was it when you boiled in oil? You know, we have all these questions for him. But I think once we see Jesus, we're just going to fall down. We're going to worship. And we're just going to be rejoicing forevermore, because we're in the presence of God eternal. And his goodness, his glory is going to be so overwhelming that we aren't even going to think of those things. I was thinking about it this week, that when I was in the hospital and just trying to get my mind straight, because the drugs they were giving me were just making my mind race, and I was just, my mind was in about 40 different directions, and it took me hours just to focus on one scripture, just to get it right, and just to get through it. But I was thinking, you know, how little I was worried about whether my check got deposited in the bank. I wasn't really too worried about that. I wasn't really worried about who was cleaning chairs. I wasn't really worried about who was mowing the lawn. Well, I found out who was mowing the lawn. He did okay. A little bit. It was all right. But how little we depend on those things when circumstances change for us, don't they? When we realize what's really important. And folks, what's really important is our walk with the Lord right now. God, what are you doing in my life? And how do I get my heart right in the midst of it so that I can see your glory in the midst of this? And so he goes on and he says, the angel and the angels. So here we go. The progression is still going on, the ands. And the angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven. So here's this angel, this huge angel. And what is he doing? He's lifting his hand to heaven. He's in surrender, because that's just a picture of surrender, isn't it? As we surrender to God, our master, you don't raise up your hands to anybody except when you surrender to them. You worship them. You give your heart to them. You humble yourself down and say, you're greater than I am, and so I humble myself before you. And here's this mighty angel, and he humbles himself before his God. Oh, that the church in America would humble themselves before God instead of thinking that they can demand God to come down and do something in their midst right now. And we've heard pastors do that, teach that. God, you come down here right now and you manifest yourself to us right now. How awful is that? Oh Lord, keep our hearts humble before our God. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, to the eternal one, the one who's always been, the one who is always going to be, who created heaven and the things therein. So we know who made heaven and earth, don't we? He's making it very clear. This is God. The things that are therein, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Everything that's therein was made by God, and he said the things which are there should be no time no longer, or they should be no more delay in the things that are going to happen. God is going to speed things up. And it's interesting, in the book of Romans, in chapter 9, it tells us this. It says, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And isn't he going to do that? This is really a short work. The older we get, I think, the more we realize how quick time really is. I remember being 16 and thinking things were going so slow. And all of a sudden I turned 70 and I go, what happened to 16? It just poof. it's gone. And it's so quick. And you start looking at the things that are important. Family's important. The church family's important. Fellowship becomes more important. Our walk with the Lord becomes the most important thing. God, I'm going to see you soon. I've got my 70 years in, and you said six score, or two score, whatever score, 70 years is going to be there. And then, what's guaranteed? Nothing. Lord, we could go at any time. Wow. Lord, how quick this is. And people can't believe that it's going to be that quick for them. And yet we never know. We don't know the day or the hour. We just had on our prayer chain a six-year-old that has cancer, head to toe. And how, as a parent, do you look at that child and go, oh, how long are we going to have them in our midst? We just don't know the time. And there's so many of us that have lost young ones. People that were young. My brother was killed when he was 13. And I watched my parents go through that. Doug and Dawn with their niece, so young. Caroline, so quick. We don't know the day or the hour, but what's really important in your life? Is it getting what you want, or is it letting God have what He wants? Our hearts completely. And hopefully we're turning our hearts more and more to Him and less to the things that are around us. There's going to be no more delay, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. And when the seventh angel sounds, that's when the vile judgments are going to be opened up. But again, that's not going to be till chapter 16 when those are opened up. And when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. He's declared them to his servants, and they've declared them to us. And they've written them down for us. The Holy Spirit, through them, penned these words to us. And how important they are. They're important in Leviticus. They're important in Chronicles. Just as important as they are here in Revelation. We just get more excited about the stuff in Revelation. We're not really excited about genealogies and numbers in Leviticus and all the things that are going on there. But they're just as important as these are. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word. And the voice, again, the progression. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. So the voice is coming out of heaven. The angel's right in front of him. And here's this voice coming out of heaven and speaking to him. And it says, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. How did he get to him? Did he walk on the water to go over to him and get him? Or where did the angel have his hand? We don't know. But he was obedient. He doesn't say, but Lord, that's a mighty big angel to take something out of his hand. He doesn't say, Lord, I can't get up off my knees because I have fallen down because this guy is huge. He doesn't say any of that. He just does it. Obedience to the word that was spoken to him. And for me, that's what this whole chapter has been about, because this next verse is really going to be a killer for us. And I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. I'm sure there was please in there too. Because you don't go to a mighty angel and just say, give me the book. Hey, Paisan, give me the book, okay? I don't think that was part of the program. I don't think that went through. I think it was, he goes over. He's obedient to the word of the Lord that was spoken to him. Obedient to the word of the Lord that's written. And what does the angel say to him? And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. Really? Is it flavored with something? And it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. And this has been working on me for a few weeks now, because I always like to have a study ready to go, just in case we have an opportunity. Sweet words. The Lord tells us in the Psalms to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we go, yeah, amen, amen, that's right. In the Gospels, Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And it says that many walked away from him there. He tells us to partake of who he is. Not that we physically cannibalize Jesus, or that we take this Bible and rip it up in pieces and chew it down. But the words that we see, the words that we read, because we're in our word every day, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We read the word because we need God's direction. We need God's heart. We need to know who God is. He said, those are sweet words, but sometimes these words are harsh and hard for us, aren't they? He says, you need to repent. And that becomes bitter to our soul, doesn't it? Sweet words when we read them for somebody else, but bitter for us when we have to do it ourselves. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. Oh, Lord, those were sweet words for somebody else, but they're kind of hard for me. But that's what we need to have. We need to take all the counsel of God and not just take the words that we like to hear, that we're going to get raptured and we're going home to heaven. But we have to have the words that say, you need to repent from your sin because you have a heart that's against God. Oh, Lord, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear everything's hunky-dory with you and me. I want to hear that everything's wonderful. And he says, well, your heart isn't. And that's hard for us to take, isn't it? Jeremiah heard it. To take and eat it, and it was going to be sweet in his mouth. Ezekiel heard it, that take the scroll, the roll, and eat it, because it was going to be sweet in his mouth. But as those things are digested by us, as we chew on the Word of God, as we let the Word of God minister to our hearts, sometimes it gets bitter in our belly, bitter in the very depths of our beings, because we didn't think that we were that bad. We didn't think that we were that harsh. We didn't think that the words that we speak to people sometimes hurt them and cut them deeply. And sometimes those things have to come to our lives because we need them. Because we can't be conformed if everything is always wonderful. That means that we're already perfect. And I hate to tell you, the word never says that. It says that there's none good, no, not one. That means you and me. There's none of us that are perfect. We need God's heart. And sometimes that goes against our emotions. It goes against our feelings. But that's where the Word of God comes in, and that's why it's so important to chew on the Word of God. You don't read God's Word just to do your 5 chapters a day, and in 4 minutes you're done with your 5 chapters and you're on your way to work and you stop at Dunkin' Donuts and grab your coffee and you're running and you're flying through the day. That means you chew on God's Word and let it do that work in your life, in your heart, in your stomach, in all your being, that it would allow that Word to change you. Because we need to be changed. And it tells us that we're changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We grow in these things. But we don't grow without the Word nourishing us. We don't grow without chewing on the word and letting it have its way. And we become faithful then, just like this angel was faithful, just like God is faithful. And I want to be faithful. I want to raise my hand and say, I'm faithful to the Lord, but I can't raise my hand. And I really have trouble with that song, I Surrender All. I surrender about 1/19th of everything that comes my way, Lord. That's about the best my song gets. It's a wonderful song, and it's what our hearts want. But boy, I'm so far from that. You can pray for me in that, because I am not there. Lord, I need to surrender. There's so much more that He shows me every day that I haven't surrendered. I didn't even know it was there. And God brings it up, and He says, hey, look at what I found. No. Not now. But isn't it cool that God does that for us? In Psalm 119, 103, listen to what it says. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, Lord, these words are so good for me. And have you sat down lately and said, Lord, it was so good reading your word today? Lord, it was so sweet the time that I had with you today? Or are you like me with some days you get up and you go and, what'd you read today? I know it's in Genesis somewhere. We don't have a clue because we haven't chewed on it, because it hasn't been sweet to us. And yet all these words, this is His love story to you and I. And I love to hear sweet words from my wife. I kind of push all the others, and I have selective hearing. I hear the sweet words and I forget everything else. But we do that, don't we? And we do the same thing with the Lord. I want to hear the sweet words. I want to hear the precious words. And He says, sometimes I'm going to be hard with you. He chastises those that He loves. And thank you, Lord, for it. And we should thank Him for it, because it's good for us. And He finishes up here. And so John takes the little book out of the angel's hand, and he ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. As he looks at John, as he ministers to John, he says, John, you're going to go through more things. Which means what? This guy's over 90 years old already. He's already over 90. And he says, you're going to prophesy before kings and rulers and peoples, many groups. Lord, how long am I going to live? I really wanted to come home, but they couldn't get rid of me. And I think the same thing is for you and I. We want to get raptured, don't we? That's our cry. But most of us want to get raptured because we just don't want to deal with the stuff that's around us anymore. It's kind of a 50-50 choice. I want to see Jesus, but I also want to get out of the mess that I'm in right now. And we kind of go through that. I mean, we have to be honest, because the Lord already knows, and He already deals with our hearts in the midst of it. But He says, John, you're going to be here for a while, and you're going to minister. Because you've eaten this, because you've seen this, it's going to cause you to witness now in the world of the person that you are. And it doesn't mean you have to go out on the street and carry the sandwich board that says the end is near. It means your life is going to be a witness to the world. We do the St. Francis of Assisi thing. Let your life be a witness, and if you need to, speak. How do you act at work? How do you act in traffic? I lost that one. How do you act with those that rebuke you? How do you act with those that just hate you. When he says, love your enemies, he didn't mean the enemies that we get along with. He means the enemies that are just downright mean with you. Oh, love them. You don't have to hold your place here, but go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Great, great scriptures. Second Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 10. And it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Well, we don't have to worry about climate change. God's going to take care of that. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Not just part, but all. What manner of persons ought we to be in the days that we're in? What manner of persons ought we to be with those around us that are needy, that are hurting, that are crying out? Their lives are disheveled. Their hearts are broken. What manner of persons ought we to be? You know, how convicting that is. The world needs to see Jesus. And they're going to look at it through you and me. What manner of people ought we to be? We ought to be people whose hearts are after the Lord. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we seek him first and foremost and always. Father, just thank you so much for your word, Lord, the truth of it, the joy of it, the direction of it. And Father, we see that every part of your word is so important to us and for us, Lord. And yet so often we've neglected parts of your word because it just didn't interest us. It just didn't seem to be the time for us to read. We couldn't make the time in the morning to get in your word before we went about our day. We couldn't get in the word because we were unsettled because of the news that hit our hearts and just broke our hearts. We couldn't get in your word because we just had a bad night. Oh Lord, you have your ways of showing us where our hearts really go in times that are necessary. So Father, just continue to draw us. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't forsaken us because we've been so unsettled. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't gotten rid of us. You haven't separated yourself from us. You said that you'd never leave us or forsake us. And we're just so grateful, Lord, for those promises. And Lord, help our promises to be true. We've promised that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, we haven't kept that promise too well. But Lord, we want to. Our heart's desire is to. So help us in it, Lord, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That, Lord, you'd be our all in all. You'd be everything. You'd be the most important thing, the preeminent thing in our life. And we just rejoice in your goodness, Lord, in your grace. It's your kindness and your goodness that lead us to repentance, Lord. So, Father, if we need to repent tonight, please give us that gift of repentance. Give us that gift of faith to believe that you're going to forgive us. And start us afresh, Lord. We're just so grateful and thankful that you do. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. It tells us in Scripture that you hold your word above your name. Lord, may we hold your word above everything here in this world, above our names, above everything that we are. May we raise our hands and worship to you, Lord, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. We rejoice in you tonight, Lord, and we give you thanks. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.